This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Another trip back to Salem, if you will, with State Senator David Brock Smith, the Oregon Legislature in its 35-day short session. David, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle, and welcome from your Senate office in the Oregon State Capitol.
So one of the things, of course, that's getting a lot of attention really at the top of the list is the whole attempt to move the gas tax referendum, et cetera, to the May ballot. And I know that went out of committee yesterday. Talk about where things are at with that.
Well, thousands of Oregonians are opposed to this purely political move. In fact, Senate President Wagner mentioned that it was politically motivated in a presser a few weeks ago. You know, Senate Bill 1599 will move the election from the November ballot that over 250,000 Oregonians signed a referral for. I mean, as you remember, as we've gone through this Governor Kotek stumbling over this transportation issue for many months now. I mean, go back to the 2025 long session. She came in to try to force a package through at the last weeks of session. Ultimately, it failed and called the special session that dragged on for over a month in September. Here we are. Then, of course, the referral occurred and the signatures were gathered to refer that. We only needed nearly 79,000 signatures, and the citizens of Oregon overwhelmingly collected them in less than 30 days, over 250,000. But we knew that because of the opposition testimony of the piece to the $4.3 billion tax hike and fees. And so then here we are, the Senate and House Republicans move forward with, we don't need to raise taxes. We can go in and redirect existing resources within ODOT's budget. Of course, Governor Kotek and her Democrat supermajority said no. So what is she doing now? She's going to redirect those existing resources within ODOT's budget. And she wanted to repeal the bill. She couldn't do that, as we've talked about before, because the AG opinion came out from many years ago, 1935, says once a referral is sent and the signatures are collected and a referral has been mandated by the voters of this state, the legislature cannot just simply repeal. Well, many of us believe that the legislature then also doesn't have the right. Because when people sign that referral, they sign that referral for the election to be in November. We have the ballot title from everything from the Secretary of State where he has the election to be, the referral to be in November. And so for the governor and the Democrat supermajority to then come in and move it to May to be more politically easy for them is in direct conflict with the people of Oregon and the referral process in many of our opinions.
So any idea when it's going to go to a vote of the full Senate?
Well, they had some other issues. I mean, they've been trying to get this thing done as soon as possible. The Secretary of State said, hey, if you're going to do this, we need the information by the 25th. The other issue is it's limiting the ability for people to go collect the number of signatures that are necessary to put in the voters' statement and those messages for and against, which we think is a violation of their civil rights and rights in general anyway when it comes to this process, because they're literally going to have days rather than months, right, in order to do so. The House had rules that you have to have a certain ratio, percentage of members on the committee, any committee, joint committee from the House. They only had two Democrats and one Republican. They needed three Democrats and two Republicans to bring that percentage up. So they had to go ahead and get more people on the committee and then have another work session. We pushed to say, hey, we need another public hearing on this. They refused. They moved the bill out last night. And so it will be second read on the Senate floor. There were supposed to be Senate floor today, which would mean it would have been second read. We were able to get that canceled. And now it will be second read on the Senate floor on Tuesday, potentially third read on the Senate floor and voted on Wednesday. And then it goes to it would go to the House.
And what are you hearing from the other chamber? Do you where is this going to go? Do you think it's going to end up in May?
Well, I mean, that's if they have all the Democrats to support the governor's desire not for her name to be essentially next to it in November. I am hearing from my House colleagues, and I'm sure you can ask Representative Osborne, that they're adamantly opposed to moving this bill as well. I know that in talking with my colleagues in the House and, of course, my leadership, part of leadership here in the Senate, that we will be filing, and there will be individuals that were leading the referral effort of collecting signatures, file an injunction, lawsuit. So that would mean that the courts would have to work quickly if, in fact, it does move through the both chambers. So I don't know what the House will do. The Senate, we have limited options. We have to read the bill. We can delay the bill and so forth. So we're still discussing our options as well in our chamber.
So the longer this takes to play out, the less both sides, but both chambers are going to have an opportunity to deal with everything else on the docket for the short session, which is only a 35-day session.
Correct. Yeah, we sine die on the constitutional sine die is Sunday the 8th at midnight. The other bill that's second read on Monday is Senate Bill, was it 1507, I believe, that is the bill that would disconnect certain portions of the Oregon tax code to the federal tax code. House Resolution 1, H.R. 1, that was passed by Congress. The Democrats want to disconnect Oregonians' ability to write off the interest payments on their car payments. We're pretty disappointed about that. They want to write off some business incentives specifically for trade stocks and so forth, as well as being able to have an advanced depreciation, which is ridiculous considering we have businesses leaving the state in a D grade, according to CNBC poll, national polling, in regards to business friendliness, D minus, actually. And so here we have an incentive for companies in Roseburg and Douglas County, for example, to have a accelerated depreciation on their products for their business so that they can invest in new equipment and infrastructure, as well as grow jobs that the majority party is taking away from them. It's kind of ridiculous. It's a whole nother subject, Kyle, but it's kind of ridiculous. As we moved into this session, we're talking about a cuts budget. We're talking about, you know, the Democrats were pushing that, my goodness, we're going to have to cut 1-5% out of these budgets and agency budgets. I mean, people were all concerned about that FFA was going to be cut, and our OSU extension offices and their partnerships with 4-H and FFA and so forth were going to be cut. But yet now the governor has come forward with needing over $300 million to assist in building and renovating a new MOTA center for the Portland Trailblazers. So as the Democrats are talking about cutting and disconnecting from HR1 and cutting these tax incentives for our small business and working families in the state, because we aren't going to give billionaire tax breaks, here we are going and giving billionaire tax breaks for the Trailblazers, the MOTA Center in Portland. So it's kind of a marble nut house when it comes to a lot of these things these days in this short session.
All right, going to take a break. More when we come back. State Senator David Brocksmith live from the Oregon State Legislature in Salem in the midst of their 35-day short session. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1. Congresswoman Val Hoyle will join us on Inside Douglas County on Monday. I believe she'll be back in the district at that point. Things, though, continue to shift in Washington, D.C. Sometimes you don't know for sure. Things certainly going on in Salem. State Senator David Brocksmith on with us. Wanted to ask about your thoughts about the Climate Superfund bill and that moving forward looks like as well.
Yes, Kyle, it's unfortunate. You know, our constituents need to know that the governor and the Democrat supermajority have control over every single aspect of this legislative process. And so we were able, the Climate Superfund bill was introduced twice, sponsored by Senator Golden in the 25 session. Both of them failed and to move out of committee. And they failed to move out of my committee, as I'm the vice chair of the Energy and Environment Committee. And so this time around, as we know, Senator Golden from Ashland-Medford area is the chair of the Natural Resources and Wildfire Committee. So he made the Climate Superfund a committee bill in his committee to avoid the Natural Resources and Wildfire Committee, or excuse me, to avoid the Energy and Environment Committee, to which I vice chair. And it, of course, went out of his committee on a party line vote. People need to understand that this is a bill that will increase costs, fuel costs, energy costs, and it does so in a layered fashion because we already have the Climate Protection Program that was instituted by Governor Brown through an executive order that we've been requesting that Governor Kotek rescind. That Climate Protection Program is kind of the executive order that to try to implement a cap and trade program that, as you remember, I helped lead the Republicans in defeating in 19 and 20. And then we also have the Clean Fuels Program that already layers costs associated with this, and then the Renewable Fuel Standards that layer additional costs on gasoline and the utilities. You have a situation where everybody's utility bill from, PGE to Pacific Power to Northwest Natural to Cascade Natural Gas and Avista pay on their utility bills to fund grant programs through the Energy Trust of Oregon for efficiencies in, housing and, ductless heat pumps and so on and so forth. But these are just costs that are going to be shifted from the suppliers to the consumers, and it will have no impact. If you remember, Kyle, when I asked the director of DEQ at the time in committee back in 19, if Oregon were to go to emission zero tomorrow, what impact would it have, and I'm paraphrasing, on the global greenhouse gas emissions, and he said the impact would be imperceptible, because it would. And so as working families are struggling right now, The last thing we need to do is layer another climate program on them. Oregon sequesters carbon, 31 million metric tons, and our timber industry in this state alone sequesters carbon, and it's God's gift to the planet, really, in carbon sequestration, right? The Douglas Timber, the Douglas County Timber, being the timber capital of the world, our Douglas firs sequester carbon while creating the most resilient building material on the planet with a byproduct that's oxygen. And if we could manage it from wildfire, as we have the prescription and skills to do so across the federal landscape, we would be far ahead in reducing emissions, greenhouse gas emissions that are actually stored carbon in those trees and turning them into sticks and storing them for generations in homes that we desperately need.
I want to ask you as well about if any progress has been made. Somebody asked me about this just in the last couple of days with getting through on the federal level with the potential for funding on that end for the Veterans Home in Roseburg.
We are still all hands on deck, and I can't thank all of our veterans partners there in Douglas County. And of course, ODVA director here at the state capitol. We and of course the commissioners, Freeman, Boyce, and Kress, Representative Osborne, Representative Boyce, and Representative Scarlatos. It is all a four-court press. Congresswoman Hoyle and Congresswoman Bentz are all over this issue, and we're hopeful that we can get not just the third Veterans Home in Oregon funded, but all of the list taken care of in the next budget bill coming out of D.C., hopefully this summer or fall at the latest. It's still critically important and on the top of everyone's list, and I'm grateful for the unanimous support and collaborative engagement on the issue.
So we've got about 3 minutes left here. Wanted to see what's ahead sort of on the legislative calendar over the next few days. I'm guessing that you're not meeting tomorrow, right?
No, we'll be back Monday. We have a direct attack on the voice of rural Oregonians with House Bill 4002 that I had a public hearing on that I testified in opposition yesterday morning. 4002 is a bill that's being pushed by the Speaker Fahey and President Wagner that would limit the number of bills that individuals, legislators could draft to 30. That gives a huge advantage to the Democrat supermajority in this state. Just for sheer numbers, they would have nearly twice the bills that we would be able to draft. But they also would be able to get 10 committee bills apiece, which are all Democrat-driven bills. The governor would still be able to draft bills, which we are adamantly opposed that the executive branch does not make laws in this state. And so if she needs bills drafted, she should come to the legislature and ask us to draft the bills for her, as well as the Secretary of State and the Department of Justice and the Attorney General. We draft legislation. We can do it on behalf of the governor, on behalf of the Secretary of State or the AG in this state. But I was joined by my friend and colleague, Democrat Representative Evans, and my colleague, Representative Reschke, and our panel of opposition, because it's a direct affront to the voice of rural Oregonians that we would be limited in the number of pieces of legislation that we can draft. I represent nearly, around 160,000 constituents in Senate District 1, and every single one of them deserve their voice to be heard. And I draft bills for them all the time. In fact, we passed the fish incubation and hatchbox bill last session. We had a citizen driven, and we passed the legislation that would allow for our beauticians to do apprentice programs if they live, over 50 miles away from a licensed cosmetology school. So now they can go and apprentice we're going through the rulemaking now, but they will be able to go apprentice with local cosmetologists to get their schooling rather than folks in Brookings that have to go to Grants Pass. So there's lots going on, Kyle. I always appreciate the opportunity to join you, and thank you so much for all you do.
All right, live from Salem State Senator David Brock-Smith. We'll check in again with him and other members of the legislature representing Douglas County soon. That wraps up the program for today, 1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.